I want to learn the halacha on the 10th day of Av, but there's really not that much to learn. There's not too much halacha about the 10th day of Av. We end the Avelos at Chatzos. That is the consensus among the Poskim. And there's a very big mystery as to why. Most of what I'm telling you now is coming from the Sefer called Sha'arei Nechama, Rabbi Tezner. We used to use this Sefer a lot in the past. I've slacked off, because Baruch Hashem, I found some new Svarim. But it's good to go back to the old. So the news is also good. But he asks here some very, really nice things about the 10th day of Av and about the Geula in general. So let me first start going in order before I get confused. And then at the end, maybe I want to share with you some other ideas, other short ideas relating to Geula, to Nechama, and to things that are related to the day, the 10th day of Av. The first thing is there's a medrash. The medrash is, it says, he doesn't, no, I take it back, it's not a medrash. He writes here, Shekosvu b'sfarim hakidoshim. I don't know what that means. It says the following statement, the statement in the Svarim hakidoshim. What does it say in the Svarim hakidoshim? Shemish nizhar shaloy lismayach. A person who is nizhar, not to enjoy himself, ba'asoro yamim elu. During these 10 days, what are the 10 days? Starting Rosh Chodesh ad Yud Be'av, from Rosh Chodesh until Yud Be'av. So today is the 10th day of Av. So that includes today. So there really are 10 days. Now I'm going to show you in a moment. That's a steer to what I'm going to tell you. What he says, it says in a few moments. But basically, it's not really 9 days. He says it's really 10 days. It's from Rosh Chodesh, the 9th day is Tisha B'Av, and today as well, we are not allowed to enjoy ourselves until Chatzos. A person is nizhar in this custom, then Yizke, he will merit. La seres hadvarim she'osid hakadosh baruch hu l'chadesh la'osilava. Okay, that is a Medrash Rabbah in Parashas Bo, Perek Tes Vav. Very interesting Medrash that when Mashiach comes, Hashem will be mechadesh. He will renew the world. He will create 10 new things. And the Medrash, I'll read the 10, what are the 10 things? Some of them are the 10, number one is v'lo yihye l'cha or od Hashemesh l'or yom. When Mashiach comes, las lavo, no longer will the sun be the source of light. And this is based upon a pasuk that the sun's light will be 749 times more than what it is today. Some say it's even more than that. The different interpretations of that, my mechazal, shivosayim, what that means exactly. But when Mashiach comes, it's going to be a different type of light. And what's interesting is that already has happened to some degree. Think about it. That people living in ancient times would ever imagine what it would be like to live with electricity, to have LED lights, to have incandescent bulbs, fluorescent light. Today, it's really that this chazal, to some degree, has been fulfilled, at least in a token form, is that the light that we have, Zman Hazeh, is we don't really depend upon sunlight to a large degree when it comes to our visual sense. We have electricity. When it's pitch black at night, so the world goes on, the whole world goes on. So it's interesting that we've already seen a token fulfillment of this Maimar Chazal. The second thing it says is Hashniya Motzi Mayim Chayim Yerushalayim. There will be Mayim Chayim coming forth from Yerushalayim that will heal all wounds. That all maladies will be healed through this Mayim Chayim. Now, to some degree, that's been fulfilled as well, because what is Mayim symbolic of? Chay called Tzame L'chulamayim. L'chulamayim. Ki mitzion teitzei sora. Yerushalayim, in the last 2,000 years, has never been what it is today. Today, Yerushalayim, Eretz Yisrael, it's thriving. It's thriving. It's the center of the world. And the whole world is coming to Yerushalayim to solve all their problems, whether it's spiritual problems, and technological problems. All the biggest problems in the world, a lot of the science, and some of the very fascinating breakthroughs in cancer have come about recently from Eretz Yisrael. Right. And look at Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter, who is the one who leads the world in telling everyone that the state of Israel is an apartheid state. He, in fact, probably coined the term for the whole world. It's in the apartheid state. What a chutzpah to say that about Eretz Yisrael and to be mefarsim it for the whole world. And he has a brain tumor. And where does he go for treatment? Cutting edge treatment. The state of Israel. The state of Israel, they're the ones who gave him, the researchers, they're the ones who gave him a cure, seemingly, for his malady. So it goes to show that to some degree this also has come true, at least in a token form, in our day and age. The third thing it says is, the Ilanos will give forth pay, Roiseyem, B'chol Chodesh V'Chodesh. The fruits will come forth every single month. You'll have new fruits. Now, I don't know, what does that mean? That doesn't matter, this is about the whole world. That's also become true to some degree. You can walk into a fruit store, you can walk into Blue Ribbon, and you can buy strawberries any day of the year. You'll pay quite a bit certain times, times and the seasons of the year, that it can be extremely, the quality and the cost. Because today we live in a world where if there's no strawberries in China, we'll get them somewhere else. We'll find this somewhere in the world where strawberries are in season, and it's going to be imported into Brooklyn, into Avenue J, Avenue L. You'll be able to find any fruit you want. You'll be able to find, there's almost no such thing today as something not being out of season. You don't even know when the season is anymore, because it's always available. Why is it always available? Because behind the scenes, you don't realize it's coming every part of the year. It's coming from a different part of the world. It comes from South America, it comes from Argentina, it comes from America. American also comes from Europe. It's always coming from something. It's always going to be a season. So it's unbelievable.
Flowers.
What? Flowers also. The same thing with flowers. It was even more complex flowers. You always can get your tulips whenever you want, because there's always somewhere in the world where it's in season and they can import it to where you want. Is that not a token fulfillment of what it says here in this Chazada when Mashiach comes? Peros will be mechadesh every single month. And the Talmud Chazal, if you want an apple, well, apples are only in season in
the fall.
Okay, that's it. You want an apple in the winter? Sorry, no apples in the summer. What?
We have a different way of Russia that normally, let's say, certain fruits take X number of months from when the flower to the well. Here, the time will contract. Like it maybe used to be that peros grew quicker. Every chodesh they grew, yeah.
Well, that's the Sibyl translation of the word. Right. When it says Mayim, Mayim means a spring of water. When it says Peros, simply on a very simple level, it means that when Mashiach comes every single month, you have a tree in your backyard, every month it's going to produce an apple. Every month. Okay, so that's not the reality today. What I'm trying to say is, with the generation that we are living, a token fulfillment of this Maimon Chazal has been fulfilled in a way that people, when they read this Chazal 1,000 years ago, never fathomed. It's true, the tree is not producing an apple every single month, yet I can still go to a fruit store and buy an apple every single day of the year.
I thought you were going to say in the same way that you recited the medical advances in Israel, the agricultural advances in Israel,
That's correct. That's what I mean. I mean, Eretz Yisrael is the cutting edge place for all advances in technology. And it says Mayim. Mayim also simply means Hoy Kol Tzamei L'Chul Mayim. People who are spiritually ill, where do they all find themselves in Eretz Yisrael? Yeah.
In the last mission in Cyprus, one of the things they talk about is the spirituality of the pagans. Before they were so spiritual, and then of course then came after the Purim. The pagans did not have the same
spirituality
and sweetness and taste and tom. Fumantaro introduced. So I don't know.
That's another dimension. Okay, that's another dimension. But I just want to point out, we are over here at Maamar Chazal, 10 things L'Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Chadesh at the time of Mashiach. These things literally in Achinami have not come true. But it's just remarkable that in another dimension, these things have come true. That it says, they read this, that in time of the Mashiach, the Or HaShemesh no longer will be the primary source of light. Instead, Hashem is going to make a supernatural light. What does that mean? Okay, we don't know what that means. But you cannot deny the fact that when this Maamar Chazal was put into words 2,000, 3,000 years ago, they never fathomed Now there will be a generation where today, in the middle of the night, you turn on the lights, it's as if it's day, there's no difference.
They didn't envision man going to the moon either.
Exactly. So it's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. Next, okay. Number four is Shehem, another example where you see this being fulfilled today. Shehem Boinim, that when Mashiach will come, they'll be able to Boinim, call Orim, Hecharavois, the Ein Mokoim Chorav Lo'olam. There's no place in this world that's Chorav. Vafilu Sedom Vamora Nivnois La'osalova, even we have learned that Nichetzel, even Stomer will be rebuilt La'osalova. Place Stomer represents the ultimate Chorban. Vayahabech Hashem Estevamer Gofrit Somelach Srefa Kolarza represents the ultimate desert land. And when Mashiach comes, there's no place on this world where you can't build a skyscraper. And that's never been more true than now. In the middle of the desert, Saudi Arabia, the whole Saudi Arabia is a desert land. They have some very sophisticated cities. Then in India, you have places where it is impossible to build, to establish, to live a civilization. And they, due to technology, they can take a part of this world which is impossible. You can go to outer space, space station. There's nowhere in the universe where you can't go and settle. Is this not a token fulfillment of what it says in this Chazal, the fourth thing that's going to happen in Lasalovo? It definitely is. Okay, now this I don't know. So I'm already stuck. I just want to point out the other 10 things. Number one is that Hashem will build Yerushalayim be'evin sapir. When Mashiach comes, Hashem will rebuild Yerushalayim with sapphire stone. Sapphire stone is the same stone that Hashem, that the Luchos were given on. Everything about Yerushalayim will be Torah. That's really what it means. The whole Eretz Yisrael will be one big Luchos. Hashem, when he gave the Luchos, he gave it on Evan Sapir, and the Yerushalayim will be built in Evan Sapir. Number six is going to be Ufara Vidov Tirena. Animals will be at peace. You'll be able to plow your share, your field with a para, a cow, and a bear. These two creatures do not necessarily get along, and there'll be peace even among the animals. Okay, what that means, I don't know. Number seven.
Wasn't it that the lion will lie down with the sheep?
The gor hadoy v'manomer. It's the same idea. Yes. The same idea. The wolf and the lion.
The wolf and the lamb.
The wolf and the makeves. The wolf and the lamb. Well, you go to Avenue M. On Avenue M, it's been fulfilled. Wolf and lamb. You have a good lunch today, right? Go to Avenue M and tell them, oh, this is the kima of the hashavi. The seventh thing is the wolf and the lamb, so that's where you could have your lunch. Okay. Number eight is, that's a very good question. How can you call a restaurant the wolf? It's not a kosher. It's very good. It's a good question. Hashemini is number eight. They don't serve lamb either there. Hashemini is... Okay, number seven, I don't know what this means either. It means, I'll just show you the words, I don't know what it means. Hashviya shahu mevi kol hachayis v'chol ha'oifas v'chol ha'ramosim v'chol imam bris v'im kol Yisrael. There's going to be a new covenant established at the time of Mashiach. Number eight, no longer will man cry. She'ein oid b'chi v'lola ba'olam, there will be no pain. She'nema v'lo yishama ba'ot kol b'chi v'kol z'aka. Number nine, a moves. There'll be no such thing as death. Bila hamoves lo netzach. And number ten, shein od lo anocha v'lo enke v'lo yogon ela anocha v'lo yogon ela akol semechim. Ufiduye Hashem yeshuvun uvahu tzion berina. There will only be simcha. Okay, so these are the 10 things. I just want to point this out. And La'asilavo, Hashem will bring these 10 things. Why? In merit of observing the 10 days of Avelus from Rosh Chodesh Av through Tisha B'Av and the Nixas Hayoim until Chatzos on the 10th day. What is interesting is each day corresponds to one of these 10 things. That means the 9th thing is Moves. Tisha B'Av corresponds to Moves. Okay, you can go through all the day. What does Rosh Chodesh correspond to? We don't really know the significance of Rosh Chodesh. The first thing we said is Or, is light. It's very interesting because what is Rosh Chodesh? Rosh Chodesh is the day when the transition, when there's the first drop of light from the Levana. It's pitch black dark before Rosh Chodesh begins. Rosh Chodesh represents the Chidush HaLevana. There's a spark of light in the sky. That corresponds to the first of the 10 things, that is going to be a new form of light. the light will be renewed. You see a direct correlation between number one and Rosh Chodesh. Number nine, definitely, probably the most frightening, is the concept of death. Bila Hamavis LaNetzach. In the 9 days, the worst of the 9 days is clearly Tisha B'Av, and Tisha B'Av corresponds to the time if we're going to be Misabel on Tisha B'Av correctly, that we will merit Bila Hamavis LaNetzach. What is relevant for us today, on the 10th day of Tisha B'Av, that is Lo Anocha, V'lo Yanocha, V'lo Yogoin, Ela HaKol Semechim. Today is day of Simcha. And the fact that you come here today, on the 10th day, look at our voice, the Yasash HaChashva Olam here. You come over here to learn on the 10th day of Av. Ein Simcha is Kesimcha Satayra. Ein Simcha Kesimcha Satayra. Torah is Simcha. The reason why you don't learn Torah on Pekudei Hashem Yeshorim Mesamche Lev, the day after Tisha B'Av is over, you resume Talmud Torah. So the learning of the Torah is the root of what will be zoicha to la'asilavai of loy anocha v'loy anocha v'loy yogod el akol semechem. Okay, that's today.
There's a story of a Sin Shreva on Tisha B'Av was dancing.
Dancing?
And he was crying.
Oh, okay.
Said, why are you dancing? Why are you crying? He says, it's a halacha that you have to ma'at in the simcha. But if it's a mitzvah, you can't do a mitzvah only
in
a
simcha.
So,
okay, yeah.
Go back to number seven for a second.
Okay, Anubris.
Yeah,
covenant.
With all the living creatures.
Yes. Right? Kol
ha-chayos v'chol ha-ifos. I will suggest that it means there will be ecological harmony.
Ooh.
Even though I don't believe in global warming.
Oh, okay. So how does that correspond to day seven? What happened on day seven is when Titus entered the base. That was on day seven or day eight? I don't remember. I think day seven, right? He came into the base Hamidosh on day seven. They conquered the base Hamidosh. That's the highest. Maybe it means the Umois Ha'olam. I think the Chayos and the Oifos and the Ramasim are a metaphor for the Umois Ha'olam. So the day when the Umois Ha'olam entered into the base Hamidosh. There was a fence around the Beis HaMikdash with 13 openings. You're not allowed to go. Goy may not go past this point in time. When was the day when the Chayos and the Oifos and the Ramosim, the Umayis Olam, when they came into the Beis HaMikdash? It was on day 7. So maybe you do see some correlation between that as well. Okay, now let's go to another idea. So these are the 10 days. Now there's another idea. Just the Amamish Pumfakir, just the opposite. He is over here in the name of who? Let me try to find where I'm quoting from. I think it's from the name he writes over the name B'Shelus Teshuvas His Oyrodois Teshuva. I don't know who this is. I trust Rabbi Tezda 100%. It's a good source. His Oyrodois Teshuva. He asked the Yesh L'Tmaya. I have the following question. Why it says, why indeed is the halacha, Why do we only observe 9 days? We just said before there are 10 days. It's really only 9 days. Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is when it's all over. After Chatzos, we're allowed to do. All the restrictions are lifted at the end of Chatzos on the 10th day. Question is why? The 10th day is a very tragic day. The majority of the Beis HaMikdash was burnt. Was destroyed. And in fact, in the Gemara, there are different opinions as when we should observe the Tisha B'Av. We observe Tisha B'Av on the 9th day when the Gemara says, because Aschalta de Paranusa. When was the Beis HaMikdash ignited? When did they set fire to the Beis HaMikdash? The very, very end of the 9th day. Not Chatzos. What?
Shimon Sofer.
Shimon Sofer, when did he live? The Chassam Sofer's grandson. In
Hungary.
That's where the Chassam Sofer was. Pressburg. Where's Pressburg? It's Hungary, right?
What?
Where's Pressburg?
Yeah.
That's
Czechoslovakia.
Slovakia.
Slovakia.
Yeah.
I have a programmer in Slovakia. I didn't even realize that. Okay, I work with someone. Everything to do is virtual world. South America. My best programmer was in Poland. I used to communicate with him all the time. I wonder the problem. Who knows? I try to hide that I'm Jewish. All right. In any event, let's any event. Let's go. Let's return to this discussion. The question is, when was the Beis Hamikdash? When was it ignited? It was ignited at the end of the ninth day, the very, very end of the ninth day, is when Titus Harasha set fire to the Beis Hamikdash. When did the Beis Hamikdash burn? It burned the entire night of the tent and until Chatzais. Chatzais, at the time of Chatzais, already the dish was burned to the point where there was nothing left. So, according to one opinion, the Gemara, I don't remember who, we should observe the day of fast, the Yom Tzom should have been today. Today should have been Tisha B'Av. Yesterday would be Erev Tisha B'Av, and we would, we'll call it Asiri B'Av, and we'll be sitting on the floor now, and we will be reciting Kinnis right now on as the fast. So why don't we do this? Doesn't that make more logical sense? It's much more logical if someone would ask us, the average person, when would you declare a national day of mourning for the Jewish people? You would say that when it was destroyed. When was it destroyed? It was around the 10th day. Ninth day was just the beginning. They kindled it, they started the fire. So why do we do this? Aschalta de Paranusa. That's when it began. There's something unique about the beginning. The Haskalah is something very, very significant. Now, okay, so fine. That's when we're going to observe the national day of tragedy. But you cannot deny that being that the Mikdash did indeed burn in its majority on the 10th day, it should at least be no worse than the first 9 days of the first 8 days of the month. On the first 8 days of the month, you're not allowed to eat meat, you're not allowed to bathe, you're not allowed to wash your clothing. So on the 10th day of the month, the day when the Beis HaMikdash was burnt, we should not be allowed to eat meat, not allowed to listen to music, not allowed to do all of these halachas. It's no worse than the 9 days. And yet, what happens? The moment Chatzos is over, poof, everything goes away. Does not seem to be logical. Seem logical that this should be correct. Even though it stopped burning, but the whole day is a day of tragedy. The whole day, when a person Rachmanos dies, when did he die? He died at 6:04 a.m. So why are you observing Avelos at 6:05? It only happened at 6:04. Certainly not 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. Right, it's a few hours. 12 o'clock. You have to observe Avelos. You're going to, every year on the yard site, you're going to go and you're going to fast the whole day. The person died at 6:04, so observe a moment of silence at 6:04. Well, the answer, don't eat for a minute. So what is the answer? The answer is, no, if an event happens on that day, even though the event only took place in one moment in time, you observe the whole day. So what's all this about? That we stop, all of a sudden we stop? Cold turkey, right in the middle of the day. You don't have any precedent to this in halacha to do such a thing like this. So why do we do this? So he explains over here something very, very interesting. He says over here is because there's no such thing in Jewish tradition, in hashkafa, or in the eyes of Chazal, 10 days of avelos, 10 days focusing on churban. The number 10 by Klal Yisrael is only Kodesh. There are Seres Hadibrois, Biasara Mamorois, Nivra Ha'olam. Hashem is the Machadesh, the world, time Moshiach, with the number 10. The number 10 is sacred. It's Kodesh Kodashim. It's in the realm, it is in the realm of Kedusha. Oh, Asura, very good point. So you have to really say though is that Asura Gimalchus is, you have to, exactly, you have to say that, you have to put a twist on it, that is an idea of Kedusha. They were Makadish Shem Shemaim. They did an act of very great Kedusha to Makabel the Misa with Kedusha. That's what you have to really say with the Asura Gimalchus. This is a very good point. But there's no such thing as 10 days of misery, 9 days of churban, doesn't exist. The ten days. Chazal could not allow there to be such a thing as 10 days. You're right, they really, lechatchila, there's no doubt about it. Ideally, they would have insisted that it should be 10 days of avelos, from Rosh Chodesh to 10. When we'll observe the fast, that's a separate issue. We'll observe the fast on the ninth day or the 10th day. But even if we observe it on the 9th day, the 10 day should be a day of, like, the 9 days. But being that there's no such thing, it cannot be. That's why we have to stop short. You must stop short. 9 and 11 are days that are miyuchid for Puranas. 11 is everything about Golas is 11. There are 11 Alufei Esav.
What about the 10 Meragim?
that there were 12 meraglim. There were 12 meraglim and 10 were evil. Right? There were 12 meraglim and 10 of them were evil. But they started out as tzaddikim. That's part of the tragedy. They go mahapich. That's part of the tragedy. They go mahapich 10 from davar shel b'kedusha to davar shel chol. That was a chait. They took 10. It really was 12. It was 12 and 10 of them turned sour. So okay, that's a different percent. But this is a really, this to me at least is a very interesting thing.
Why wouldn't they start in the second, the
Bob,
and left?
Oh, he asked the question. So he has excellent question. So why then start? It has to be only 9 days. Start on the second day of Av, because Rosh Chodesh is after all Rosh Chodesh. So he says one of two things: either because Aaron HaKoyen died on Rosh Chodesh, so you cannot ignore, and since that's the only yard site that is recorded in the Torah. There is no yahrzeit in the Torah other than the yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen. And Aaron HaKohen is Oyev Shalom V'Roydev Shalom. And it so much ties into the theme of Tisha B'Av, of Sinas Chinam. So Chazal did not want to take away Rosh Chodesh from the calculation of 9 days. It's just too critical. Or you have to understand that everything that happens in a month is all rooted in the Haskalah. If Av, Chodesh Av, is a month of tragedy because of Rebbe San Megdash, the shoroshim, the roots of the tragedy, are found in Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, Rosh Chodesh has to be part of the calculation. You want to go to 10? 10's a no-no. You can't go to 10. You can't have 10 full days focusing on Avelus, focusing on Churban, focusing on, therefore we have to stop. You got to cut it short so it should not be a full 10 days. 9 is something which indeed is given over to the Sitra, this other side, and 11 for sure. 11 we know, I know he gives examples. Parshas Vayavo Amalek Ye Ikarak 9 Psukim. What is the significance that there are 9 Psukim Vayavo Amalek? Because the number 9 is related to Amalek. The Aseres B'nei Haman have how many Psukim? 11 Psukim. That's what it says here. The Aseres B'nei Haman, there's 9 and 11. The Goyim are given Shlita over 9-11. Think about that. Wow. That never occurred to me. That never occurred to me. Wow, look at that. 10 is miyuchet for Klal Yisrael. Isn't that amazing? That's really remarkable what he says over here. I'll read you the words. It's so remarkable. This is really, how many years has it been since 9-11? 2001, right? It's been already 16 years?
Well, that's why 9-11 has been
16 years already. Wow. 16 years since 9-11. It seemed like yesterday. Unbelievable. Ulai. Let me read these words. Anything that relates to holiness, whom minyan asara is 10. Okay, asar mamorais, asar sadibrois, there are probably a million examples. The mashu misitra achra, Kabbalistic concept, okay, that's not my vocabulary. The sitra achra, the other side. The other side.
Yes,
sitra achra, yeah. There's on Konyal, there are two sides. Okay, the sitra achra, who minyan tes is number 9, O Yud Aleph. 9-11. 9-11 is the sitra achra. Ayin Sefer Chasidim Simen Tov Tov Shin Mem Vav. The Simen Tov Tov Shin Nun Gimel. Okay, when was 9-11? What year? The Tov Shin Nun Aleph? Samach Aleph? No. Samach Aleph? Samach Aleph? Samach Aleph. Ulchein Diefer Beparshas Vayovaya Molek Is Ika Samach. It was right before Rosh Hashanah. Samach. Tov Shin Samach. There are 9 psukim. The aseres b'nei Haman ika yud aleph psukim. Uvizoyar isa she'esav notal barza delay elu tes yoimin elain delay velo yatir. Okay, he took, so I don't know what this means over there. He took 9 days. Esav is 9 and 11. They have on their shalita. The 10, the 11 alufim of Esav, there are 11 amos. We mentioned this before, Tisha B'Av, there are 11 empty amos behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim until the wall of the Azara, and that is alluding to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Klal Yisrael, you better behave yourself, because if you don't, right behind your back, Esav is looking in the background, Kish Zekom Zenoifel. So there are 11, the number 11 is always a number that is associated with watch out for Esav. Nine we just said is Vayavai Amalek. Mimela, they have the numbers 9, 11. It is not a coincidence now to understand why it's been coined for posterity, the term 9-11, even though it means month and day, but 9-11 is 9-11. That changed everything, and that means that is the numbers given L'sitra Achra. We are 10. We are in the center. And the Mele Chazal could not institute 10 full days of Avelus of Tsar. We have to stop the Avelus at Chatzois of day 10 in order that it should not reach the full day of 10. Okay, now let's go to another idea. And this is a very beautiful idea, very fascinating idea. Talking about the theme of Aschalto de Paranusa. Why indeed is it that we observe, which is a general question, what's the lumnus of the Chachamim that tell us that we Tisha B'Av observe on the 9th day, not on the 10th day? The 10th day is the one the majority of the base Hamikdash was destroyed, and it's very logical that should be the day to observe Avela. So he quotes over here a fascinating medrash about the Churban of Nov. Pasuk says, Od Hayom B'Nov La'amod. It's the Haftarah in Yeshaya. We read this at some point in time.
Last day of Pesach?
Yeah. Wow. How do you know that? Unbelievable. We're impressed.
It's like the next parable we'll learn is...
Od Hayom B'Nov La'amod. Mr. Weiss, you're on the mark. We're proud of you. Od Hayom B'Nov La'amod. This is a pasuk that there's another day for Nov that remains to stand. Now, what does that mean exactly? What is this pasuk alluding to? So he explains it as follows: Nov Ir HaKohanim was destroyed. Does anyone know the historical date according to the minute when Nov Ir HaKohanim was destroyed? Shocking, shocking day to know. It was destroyed on Erev Pesach. What was the ma'aseh of Nov Ir HaKohanim? Shohol was obsessed with this mishigas that David is trying to kill him. David is a roid of malchus. What?
How
did he give him bread? The noiv, pikuach nefesh. They gave David lechem upon him. They gave him the lechem upon him because it was pikuach nefesh. Ein dover oimim bibnei pikuach nefesh. A zor. David is a zor. He's a Yisrael, Yehuda. He's not allowed to eat from the lechem upon him. It's probably chiyuv misadei shemayim probably to eat from lechem upon him, I would imagine. Like no worse than Truma, it's Kodesh. Maybe it's Karis. I don't even know what it is. They baked the lechem upon Shabbos. It appears there was a famine. David was strict with bullius. Bullius means he was dying. He was dying because of starvation.
It was Erev Pesach.
So you don't say Mizmo L'Soyd. They burned the lechem. Wait. David, the Maisa when David ate the lechem upon him was not Erev Pesach. That was before. That was a few weeks before. That was revenge. But the Maisa was David was running away from Shaul because Shaul, some reason, had in his mind this obsession that David is a threat to his Malchus. And therefore, and the Ruach HaKodesh was leaving him, was going to David. And therefore, Shaul HaMelech, he was obsessed with killing David. He chased after him and he was in hot pursuit. And David, in Bikuach Nefesh, he ran to the city of Noiv Ir HaKohanim. This was where the Mishkan was erected. There were 7 Mikdashos in the history of Klal Yisrael. Mishkan, Gilgal, Shiloh, Noiv. Okay, right now it was in Noiv. And there was Noiv, and then later in Givon for a total of 57 years. So it was not a very long period of time in the big picture of things, but I don't think we even know how long it was in Noiv. I never saw anyone give us a number for how many years it was in Noiv and how many years it was in Givon. Maybe someone here knows, I never heard. It's a total of 57 years. Noiv and Givon is a set. 57 years. But the Mishkan was first in Noiv. And who was in Noiv? All of the Kohanim. They were there in Noiv, and David comes is starving to death, and they have nothing to give him what to eat. The only food that is available to give is the lechem upon him. They gave it to David. Pikuach nefesh, he ate and he lived. There was a spy, Doye Kwa Adobi was an outstanding Talmud Chacham, second to none, the Goel Hadar. And Doye Kwa Adobi didn't like David. Why? He was jealous. He was jealous of David because David always outsmarted him in Halacha. Doig was never able to come la suke shmeitza aliba de hilchasa. Whereas David was always able to conclude his learning la halacha. He was always able to come out to the final and to reach the end of the sugya. So Doig was jealous of David. So what did Doig do? He went and he sent a slanderous report to Shaul that David has escaped. He's hiding here in the city of Nov, and you should know that all of the Kohanim of Nov are conspirators. They're all against you. They're all for David, because look, the proof is in the pudding. They've given him the Lachem Aparim. So Shaul was enraged. And for some bizarre reason, this is totally something we don't understand. He went and he gave the order that they should wipe out the whole Nov. Wipe them all out. Kill all the Kohanim. I mean, it's the Mishkan. The king himself is telling them to go and wipe out the whole Mishkan. The whole thing is totally bizarre.
They got corrupt against him later in the days of David.
Yeah, he had to go hang up his descendants. Hung him up. The whole thing is really beyond comprehension. After everything is said and done, and I'm not saying this, everyone says this, the whole thing is beyond our understanding. Whatever it is, this is what it was. So Hashem says, this will not go unnoticed. This terrible tragedy has to be taken into account for. When did this event happen? When Shaul gave the order to destroy the city of Nov, it took place on Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, that's when the army, Shaul's army, entered into Nov and wiped out every living coin in Nov. Doeg himself, he gave command Doeg. So Doeg was a general. He led the army. So Doeg, what?
Abner refused to do it.
Right. I don't remember. I'm weak. I'm weak. I gotta review my Nach. Okay. So Abner refused. So Doeg went and he went in and he did it. And he wiped out the whole city of the Noiv Irakahan. Okay. When Erev Pesach. Now let me ask you: what day of the year are all the Kohanim on duty? You learned in the Kiddush yesterday. You have 24 Mishmeres of Kohanim. Erev Pesach. They're all there. Okay, that's the exception. all of the Darshanim, they all forget to mention this. They all forget to mention there are 24 Mishmeres of Kohanim, and every Kohen only served approximately two times a year. It's a Thursh Art Scroll, the commentary only. That's not true. They were there on Yom Tif, the Sholosh Regalim, they were there, you do whatever you want. Whenever they want, they can come anyway. If they have a private company, they can come whenever they want. And Erev Pesach, everyone is on duty. Why? Because the whole Klal Yisrael is on duty. So it's not only 2 days a year. There are plenty of more opportunities for an ordinary Kohen to come to Beis HaMikdash and serve Klal Yisrael. So who's Erev Pesach? Everyone. All the Kohanim are there. They're all there. It was a slaughter. It was a massacre. If he would have come all the summer, so who's already on duty all the summer? If you Kohanim, who are manning the Mizbeach. Okay, they're taking care of the Korbanis.
The rest are in the country.
Everyone, Erev Pesach, that's the place to be. That's where the action is. And the Doeg walks in and there's a massacre. It's serious business. Now, fine. So Hashem was obviously very upset. This is a Shloik HaLoch, it's a terrible tragedy. So Hashem said, Oid Hayoim Binoiv Lamod. The day is to be remembered. I'll read you what his words over here. His words over here are, Omarafu, it's a Gemara. This is a Gemara. Where is the Gemara? Sham. Where is Sham? I don't know. Or Hayom Benov Lamod, Omarafu Huna, Oso Hayom Nishtayer, Me Oino Shel Noiv. Amri Le Kadloi. So now he's referring to the time of Sancheiref. We have to fast forward from Shaul. How many years are we going? Approximately 200 years, 180 years, something like that, 175 years. Let's fast forward about 150, 175 years from the time of this terrible tragedy to Sancheiriv. Sancheiriv already has exiled the Aseres HaShvatim, and there's only one thing left to do to conquer the whole Jewish people, to conquer Yerushalayim. That's the only thing left to do. Yerushalayim is under siege. He's there with his entire army. They arrive. It seems like they arrived Erev Pesach, early Erev Pesach, and he was ready to go. He had with him how many soldiers did it say there? I don't remember the numbers. 180,000. Some say 180,000 armies, which means the people must have been in the millions. The troops were in the millions. But let's even assume it was 180,000, and he heard reports. Yerushalayim is such a mass that he looks from the peak, from a high point. Oh, this is nothing. This is child's play. Yerushalayim is a teeny little city. Child's play. I thought we would start now, but you know what? Let's get a good night's sleep first. So he arrived. Sancheiriv arrived with 180,000 soldiers to Yerushalayim, Erev Pesach. And the plan was to conquer Yerushalayim erev Pesach. And Hashem put a machshava in the mind of Sancheriv, like, you know, they talk about World War II. You study World War II, there are a lot of mistakes that Hitler made. And only because he made these mistakes, he didn't conquer the whole world. If Hitler would have not made a few little mistakes, okay, I don't remember all the details, but there are a few little mistakes. What?
Turned on Russia.
There are a few other things. And it's all because of Gaiva. All the mistakes is because he got emotionally involved. And you want to go challenge my covers? I'm going to show you now. I'm going to put everything on hold. I'm going to go and do something. And because he took it personally, he lost the war. And he could have, al pi derech hateva. I'm not talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan. Al pi derech hateva, Hitler could have conquered the entire world. This could have been Nazi America. It's no joke. This could have been Nazi. It's not just a movie. This is the real deal. Go study the science. It will tell you this could have been Nazi America if not for the fact that he made some stupid mistakes, really stupid mistakes, and that cost him. What?
What are you talking about? They had submarines.
They were in the process of developing nuclear bombs. There are so many things. They were so advanced. They were so far advanced. Much, much more, way ahead of America, way ahead of England. They were way ahead of the game. There were many things that they'd studied. I spent a lot of time there before the show, leading up to these things. He made some foolish mistakes. He should have been a little slower, should have certain fought certain battles.
So the English troops at Dunkirk, that was
They were medicated, but this could have been easily Nazi America. They could have had to push things off a little bit more. You know, all the nuclear, after the World War was over, there was a fight between Russia and the United States to have all of the technology from Germany. You know how many Germans were given, how Germans with scientists were given in? All the chokmah was from them. It wasn't from us. All the weapons that the United States have all come from Germany. They're the ones who had it all. They were ahead of the game. They were way ahead of the game. And if they had played their cards right, they could have conquered the whole world. It's a very frightening thing. But Hashem put a machshava, Hashem planted a machshava in the mind of this sick person. It's Russia. I shouldn't say sick, he's a Russia. He's a Russia, sick person. You can see, he can defend himself. He's a Russia. To go do certain foolish things which cost him the war, cost him everything. So it's the same thing with Sancheriv. He was a foolish person. Hashem put a machshava into his mind not to attack. Al pi derech hateva, Chazal say it was the right thing to do when he arrived erev Pesach to attack. There was a siege. He didn't even probably know erev Pesach. All the kohanimah there, everything is there. He should have done it. Hashem put a machshava not to attack. Chazal say if he would have attacked on erev Pesach, he would have succeeded. Why? Not because his power, because of his army. Hashem runs the world. And on this day, Erev Pesach, it was hanging on Hashem's mind, Kaviyachol, the chait of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. The anger Hashem had, how could it be that the Melech, who is the Melech of Yerushalayim, Shaul, that wasn't Yerushalayim yet, I'm sorry, I think that it wasn't Yerushalayim yet, it was time of Shaul, but it bothered Hashem what happened, the chait of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim was slaughtered by Doik Adami to the command of Shaul HaMelech, and Hashem wanted to be appeased from his anger. And if Hashem would have allowed Sancheriv to attack Yerushalayim on this day, Od Hayom B'Nov, a day will come when Hashem will seek the vengeance for Nov, and they would have succeeded. The chesed that Hashem did was Hashem put a machshav into the mind of Sancheriv to delay, to wait until Pesach, wait until the next morning. Oh, the next morning, Hashem already forgot about Nov. Hashem, it's not Bo Bayom. It's not the Yartz. On the Yartz, I feel like very tense. Someone said to me, I see today on the Yartz of my father, I was very, very tense. I said a little nasty comment. So he said to me, you don't normally talk like that. How come you say you so? He says, it must be because it's your father's Yartz side, and you think about certain things, and certain things are bothering you very tense. I said, you're right. On certain days, anniversaries, certain things, you get very worked up, you get very, very tense. Hashem Kal Yachal is like this as well. Hashem would have allowed it to happen. Therefore, Hashem did a very, very chesed. He put a machshav in the mind of Sancheriv, delayed the moment. It's not Bo Bayom. It's not, you know what? It's Pesach. Pesach. It's a wonderful day. I'm going to do a miracle for Klal Yisrael, a miraculous thing happened. All the soldiers, they just dropped dead. He was dropped dead, and Sancheriv was the only, him and a few people, they were only survivors. So he says here, very, very beautifully, he says, that's why we fast on Tisha B'Av. Logically, it doesn't make any sense why we should fast on Tisha B'Av. Because just because they lit the match on the very last moment, right before the Hurach, or Yom Tisha B'Av, right before they said, when you say the word Vahu, right before you say Vahu, is it light a match? That's when they ignited the Beis HaMikdash. And then they said Vahurach. That's why you fast the whole Tisha B'Av. You should fast on Tisha on the 10th day of Av. That's when the Beis HaMikdash was burned down. Teretz is, if they would have lit the match today, the Mikdash would not have been destroyed. The match would have gone out. You know why? Because it's not the anniversary of the Meraglim. The Meraglim came back on the very end of the 8th day, on the 8th day, and they issued their slanderous report on the ninth, the eve of Tisha B'Av. Vayivku ha'om ba'layla ha'hu. So the 9th day is the day that bothers Hashem. That's the day you cried on this day for the matana that I'm giving you, all of the miracles. This day bothers me. Even if you'll strike the match the very, very last second before you begin Ma'ariv for the next day of Lurachum, that match is going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. If the match would have been ignited just a moment later on the 10th day, even if you would have had a blowtorch on the 10th day, nothing would happen. You can take all the dynamite, what is it called, C4?
Yeah.
C4? Fill up a ton of C4 in the Beis HaMikdash on the 10th day, nothing would happen. Because this is my Beis HaMikdash, it's my house. I'm not going to let it go burn down. It's the 10th day, nothing's bothering me today. That is why we have to fast on the 9th day. That's the Yisoy of the 9th day. I thought it was a very powerful Yisoy. Yeah. Alright, let me just tell you, let's see another short idea before we conclude. Before we conclude, let's talk about a very beautiful insight from Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Levrach. You know, on Tisha B'Av, there's a minhag. I saw this minhag. I was very moved by this minhag. That when you recite the Asura Harugei Malchus, I don't know if this is a real minhag or this is a make believe minhag, but it's good anyway. Whatever it is, it's good. When you recite the Asura Harugei Malchus, you are mazkir, you mention, you don't have to go to town, you just mazkir tzaddikim who died this past year. Okay? I think it's a very nice thing. Because Misa tzaddikim is machaper, and that's what the Asura Harugei Malchus, with their Misa, with their Petira, they were machaper on Klal Yisrael. So you mentioned that Tzaddikim who left us this past year, this is Rabbi Rechnitz, is that his name, Rabbi Rechnitz? So that's what he does, that's his kiddus. He puts a big ear in the newspaper, I think Rabbi Zakheim Shul. Rabbi Zakheim Shul, so that's what he
does.
Reinitz. So that's what he does. That's what he does every single year. He goes and he dwells upon all of the people who left us this year. I once called him up. I wanted to hear if he have tapes. Because I was preparing for a kid, I wanted to hear a taste of his previous year. So he says to me, "No, you don't. That's not what I do here. I don't do the kinas. He says, the main thing we do over here is we dwell upon. We read the kinas very quickly, and we dwell upon the tzaddikim to appreciate who has left us in this past year. I was very moved, and he listened to me all the different people of the previous year. I actually wanted to call him and ask him, who are you going to talk about this year? Because, I mean, how do you find out who died this year? You know how I did it? Go to Google. You go to Matzev. You type in site:matzev.com. And you type in ZTL. Or BDE. Baruch Dayananes. ZTL. AH. Olav HaShalom. And also you put in title. So you get the title, not just the article. You see the sailing yeshiva world. And it's frightening. It's quite frightening. How many people died this year who they've posted as a news item? This one, that one is just really, really frightening. Okay, so you can suddenly, I mean, there are people there. Everyone's a tzaddik, but you know, you have to focus on the Gedolei Yisrael. Okay, certain year. So one of the big tragedies, I don't know if you people unfortunately appreciate this year was the Petira of Rav Moshe Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shapiro was off the charts. off the charts in everything. Godless Adam is a very dignified person, a very humble person. One of the biggest Bali Machshava of this generation, a Baki Mumcha in Maral. I mean, the Sfar of the Talmidim. And you know how many Talmidim he has? He's such a Mashpia. Everyone, many of these very famous people, they always said, my Rebbe, you have Moshe Shapiro, or my Brecher. I don't think he has even one speech he says. He doesn't mention Rav Moshe Shapiro. Okay, Rav Brecher, what's it, Rav Mordechai Brecher? Reish HaMedabrim. Becher. Reish HaMedabrim B'chol Mokon. There's not a speech he gives, he doesn't mention Rav Moshe Shapiro. And you get a flavor of him, of who Rav Moshe Shapiro was. And now I see the Sifri Machshava, you cannot open today a Sefer Machshava from this door, that they're not going to quote, at some point in time, an idea from Rav Moshe Shapiro. So it's a very, very tragic loss. And in his honor, I want to tell you something, an idea that I came across from him, which I want to apply to the last thing we're going to say to Menachem Tzion. We have over here, in the Brach of Nachem, it concludes, anyone remember the Chassima? Menachem Tzion, Uvelne Yerushalayim. What is Tzion? So he says something very shocking. The Ferush Gemara, I actually wrote it down, I have it down on my phone. I write some notes on sometimes in the phone. I'll just try to say it from my heart. What is the difference between Tzion and Yerushalayim? That's not what he's focusing on. So what is we discussed before? Tzion means the people, and Yerushalayim is the building, the city. Some say Tzion refers to the Ir David. Within Yerushalayim, there was a certain section called Ir David. Yerushalayim is the larger city. Tzion is like the Harabayis section of the city. Some say Tzion represents the spirituality of the city, whereas Yerushalayim represents the physical part of the city. All right, there are many answers to explain the difference. But he says, something that is a Beferish Gemara. The Gemara says that the Even Shesia is Tzion. It's a Beferish Gemara. The word Tzion means the Even Shesia, period. What's the Gemara? The Gemara, I don't remember what it was, Yoma? I don't remember. But the Gemara has about four-way machloikis as to how Hashem created the world. Did Hashem create the world with, in the center? The Big Bang. What happened at the time of the Big Bang? I'm just making up words now. Did it start in the center, and from the center it expanded? That's one opinion. The second opinion says that's not the way it worked. It started from the extremes, from the extremes, and came in. That's how. There are four opinions in the Gemara. There are four opinions in the Gemara as to how Hashem created the world. Opinion number one is Hashem started at a central point and it expanded outwards. Opinion number two, Hashem started at the extremes and came in. I guess an afkamina would be if the world is confined. If it started at the center and went out, the world is continuing to expand. It's growing and growing and growing forever. If you learn that Hashem started at the ends and came in, it means the world is finite. The universe is finite. It started at the ends, there was an end, and it came into the center. The world is finite. A very big difference of understanding in science. Okay, so you have to work with the first opinion, but we don't really necessarily know everything there is to know. Maybe there are two different dimensions, Elu v'Elu. The third opinion is really very bizarre. I don't know what this means. It means Hashem took a stone and he threw it into the yam. So it says in the Gemara. So Pharaoh Shua, he took a stone, threw it into the yam, and that impact of the stone landing in the yam began a form of creation. That's not the same thing as the first opinion where it started in the center. And then is the fourth opinion. I don't know what this means, just reading words of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Hashem created the world from Tzion. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Okay, as I'm talking, I'll try to find you all the material. The Gemara quotes a pasuk that from Tzion, the world was created. Okay, so this is the fourth opinion in the Gemara. Now, let's put the Gemara aside for a moment. And let's go to a Gemara. I think this is the Gemara Masechta Yoma. This is all the Gemara Masechta Yoma. The Gemara talks about during the time of the Bayesheni. Time of Bayesheni, there was no Aron HaKodesh didn't exist. It was in Geniza, already from the time of Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu, he put it in Geniza. There was no Aron HaKodesh. So on Yom HaKippurim, when the Kohen Gadol entered into the Kodesh HaKodeshim to sprinkle the Dama, part of the Dama, so what did he do? There's no Aron HaKodesh. He's supposed to sprinkle the blood between the Badim of the Aron HaKodesh. There is no Aron HaKodesh. So what is the Kohen Gadol to do for 420 years on Yom HaKippurim? Where are you going to sprinkle the blood? So the Gemara, it's the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, well, you got to make the best of a bad situation. You don't have an Aron HaKodesh. Even Hoysosham. There was a stone there. Ushesia Hoyanikres. It was called Shesia. This is what the stone was called. I'm almost there. I have it here in my notes. Okay, it was there. A stone. I didn't say this yesterday. I had no time to say this. I knew I wasn't going to say this. But Evan Haisazos, there was a stone. It was called Shesia. What is going on over here? It's the wrong. This is the wrong thing. I have to tell you this by heart. This is not what I want. I have it. Alright, forget. Here it is. Here it is. Kinalamidvav. There was a stone there, and they would sprinkle the blood on the stone. And what was it called? Here, Misha Nital Aroin Even Haisa Sham Mimos Nivim Rishonim Ushesia Haisa Nikres. It was called Shesia. So then the Gemara says, Tana, why is it called? Why is this stone called Shesia? The word Shesia in the Gemara means it's the foundation stone. So, Tana. Shemimena Hushsas Hoilam. It was from this stone that the world was established. Then the next words, this is Rav Moshe Shapira speaking. This is the next words. From this stone the world was established. Now enters Rav Moshe Shapira. Okay, the next words of the Gemara are Tanan. Wow, look at this. This Mishnah, Masechta Yom, is following. There are four opinions as to how Hashem created the world. From the center, from the extremes, throwing a stone into the water, or from Tzion. Tanan, Kimanda Amar, Mi Tzion, Nivra Ha'olam. So the Mishnah Masechta Yoma clearly follows the fourth opinion, which is the Chachamim, that the world was created from Tzion. The Tanya, then the Gemara quotes all four opinions. Rav Moshe Shapira says, what? What in the world does the stone have to do with Tzion? Either you would say that it means the center, the first opinion. You could say it means the third opinion. Obviously, it's clear from the Gemara that the Even Shesia is called Tzion. That's what the Gemara is saying. You don't have to struggle to all the Mepharshim. They struggle very. What is the Gemara talking about? The Gemara doesn't. The answer to the Gemara is so simple because. Even the meaning of the word Tzion is another word for the Even Shesia. So when the Gemara says there was a stone, and the stone was called Shesia, Shememene, Yusad Ha'ares, the world was established, Tanan Kemanda Amar, Mitzion Nivra Ha'olam. Because the Even, another word for the name Even Shesia, is Tzion. The Gemara is so simple. I read this Gemara, I looked in the Masifta. What in the world is my Inyan Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai? What's the Tanan Kemanda Amar? Doesn't make any sense. And Moshe Shapira says, Tak Tak, doesn't make any sense. You know what doesn't make sense? Because you don't understand that the word Tzion means the Even Shesia. It's a synonym for the Even Shesia. So therefore, since it says that the Even Shesia is called Shesia, the world was established, Hashem created the world from the Even Shesia. Now what do we want from that? So now he goes to Tad and he says some unbelievable concepts. And I'm reading a little bit into what he says. Not exactly what he says, but this is really, I feel, what we want to say. And it's a very powerful lesson. He says, there are five tragedies that happen on Tisha B'Av. Number one was the Meraglim. Number two was Bayis Rish. Number three was Bayis Sheni. Number four was Beitar. Beitar was destroyed. Number five is really bizarre. Turnus Ropus. which is a little bit later on, Cholash, he came with a lawnmower, and he plowed over the Har Habayis. L'kayim ha-shenemar, Tzion, Sode Nechrash. Tzion will be plowed over like a field. What does that mean? Enters Rav Moshe Shapiro. What was left on the Har Habayis after the Churban? Even Hoysa Soshon. Ushisio Hoya Nikres. What did Tortoise Ripers do? He made it into a nice field. In the field there are no stones. He took away the Even Shisia, or he hid it, whatever that means. Tortoise Ripers, the last tragedy of Tisha B'Av was, he plowed over the Har Habayis and like a field, Tzion, which Rav Moshe Shapiro has told us it means, the Tzion means the Even Shisia. Basode Techorash was plowed away. What does that mean exactly? Let's go back to the Gemara. In the time of the Bayashen, there was no Aron. So everyone should have been in a state of despair. There's no Aron, there's no Kapar for Klal Yisrael. You always had the Even Shasir. The Even Shasir represented hope. Hope, tikva. The Asir tikva, hope. There was always, look, we don't have the Aron, but we have Tzion. And Mitzion, Teitze Soira. From Tzion, the world will be established from Tzion. Tzion is the foundation stone of the world. Hashem created the world. Hashem will nachamach, will recreate the world. The Tzion was always there. There was no Aron, but there was hope. In the Bayesheni, there was hope that we will recover, we will elevate ourselves spiritually, and we will recover the Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh. The Churban happened. The Bayis was Chorav. The Bayis Shini was Chorav. The Beta was Chorav. But we still had that stone. The Even Hoyser Shom, even after the Churban of Beitar. Until the last nail in the coffin. The last nail in the coffin was Turnus Reifus. He took away our last hope. Tzion Basode Techoresh. He plowed the Har Habayis. No more Tzion. No more hope. Yaakov, where else do we find the Tzion referring to hope? Yaakov Avinu, he was running away from Esav. Eliphaz caught up with him, took away all his credit cards. Nothing. His checkbook, his credit cards, even his PayPal account was hacked. That's it. Nothing. I have nothing left. I'm a pauper. He lies down in the middle of the night. He's afraid that a wild animal will devour him. He has to make a marzev around his head. He wakes up in the morning, he says, he takes oil, he pours it on the stone, and what does he say? Ve'even hazos yihyeh beis elokim. I have nothing, but I have hope. Hope, tikva. I have nothing. I don't have a wife. I'm 77 years old. 77 at this moment in time. No wife, no children. He had four wives eventually. But right now he has no wife. No children, not a penny to his name. No prospects. He's a what?
No prospects.
No prospects. And I don't have a resume. I'm a Kollel Yingaman. I'm 14 years in 14 years in Kollel. I have no skills. No skills. No one wants to hear shirim from me. In Lavan, nothing. What am I going to do? I'm afraid for wild animals that are going to kill me. Nothing of nothing of nothing. There was no more destitute person in this world than Yaakov Avinu at that moment in time. And what did he say? The Even Hazos, which the Medrash says is the Even Shasia, Yihyeh, will one day be the Beis Elokim. I have hope. The Tzion is the hope. Tzion is the hope of Klal Yisrael. Turnus Reifus, after everything, in the Bayesheni, we have hope still. Even Haisasham. You destroy the Beis HaMikdash, the stone's still there. Even Haisasham. Turnus Reifus. Tzion Basodet Echorash. He took away our very vows. That's the end of the end of the end. The end of the Kinois. What's the end of the Kinois? Well, how do you know? I used to be so happy when we got there in the camp. It was mamish, impossible. Even Chaim Berlin, I couldn't go out of my mind. I can't sit the Kinois. When they started hearing the shot say, Tzion! Oh, it was so heartwarming. I know it's almost over. I was thrilled. Only a few more minutes to get out of here, go to sleep. Couldn't wait. Tzion. It's taka true. Because what is Tzion? Hope. When you come to the end, there's hope. And that's why, you know, the first Siyon talks about the Asir Tikva, the prisoner of hope. The prisoner, the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, in the first of the nine Siyonim, he talks about hope. That's the lesson for the 10th day of Av. It's the day of Tzion. The Evan is still there. The Evan Hazos Yihyeh Beis Elokim. Have a wonderful day.